thank you all so much. That's the first thing that I want you all to hear me say is thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you today, and thank you for your support of United Way. It definitely helps agencies and organizations like mine. There are many organizations that are well-deserving to be here to speak today, and I'm just so privileged and honored to be the choice speaker for today. I want to introduce you first to my children here. I see that there are handprints on the table, but I brought these handprints. I can't take with me, or I can't bring with me, the victims that we see, but I can bring a piece of them, right? So we're going to talk to you today about our agency. So just a little bit about me. I actually started my professional career in frontline social services right here in Christian County. And was a frontline social service worker. I was there for about 7 years and then left and went to the Office of Inspector General where I did child abuse investigations at group homes and private foster homes. In 2012, I became the director of the Penny Royal Children's Advocacy Center, and I just did not even know how much I would fall in love with the mission and how passionate I would become about the mission. So I want you to know that your donations mean a lot to us. I'll start by saying that for us, a medical exam runs us about $250 to do a medical exam or a rape kit on a child. It costs us about $85 to $95 to do a mental health assessment on a child after a mental health assessment. It costs us about $150 for a forensic interview at our center. And we see just under 300 children a year at the Children's Advocacy Center. So what is it that we do? Well, our goal is to provide services to children that have been sexually assaulted or physically abused, right? So long before the 70s, and I wasn't here, some of you all were, but long before that time, we didn't have a lot of laws that outlined how we respond to child sexual abuse. And I know some of you have heard this story so many times, but I have made a vow to tell the story, to share the narrative as many times as it takes, because what I know is that the truth doesn't change, right? So 1 in 10 children will be sexually assaulted by their 18th birthday. What we know is that only about 40% of those children will ever tell. And so we had this time in our history where we didn't have a lot of laws that outline how we respond to child sexual abuse. And so what may happen is that a child may tell their teacher that they had been sexually assaulted, right? And so that teacher at the time with very limited resources would say, well, I think that this is really important that the guidance counselor know what happened to this child. And so the teacher and the child would go to the guidance counselor. And the guidance counselor, with just a little bit more training than the teacher, would say, I think that it's really important that we bring the nurse in on this, right? This child has been sexually assaulted. We need to bring the nurse in on this. And so the child has told the teacher. The child goes on to tell the guidance counselor. And now the child is telling the nurse. And the nurse understands that she has very limited authority. And so she understands it's important that the principal knows about it, right? And so the child goes and now has to tell the story to the principal. And the principal has no authority to investigate the allegations, thus needs to contact the police. So the police come to the school and the police interview the child. And while law enforcement takes the lead on the criminal investigation, they often don't have the authority to take the lead on the protective investigation. And so they have to call social services, and now this child has to tell social services. And if you understand my drift, this child has to tell this story so many times. What we understand from research is that every time the child tells the story, they're reliving that trauma. And much like you and I, every time we tell a story, it may not come out just exactly the same, and that doesn't mean that we're lying. So what happens if this child has told this story so many times, there may be holes in the story, there may be things that they left out that they didn't tell the next person, and it was leading to holes in prosecution. And so there was an attorney in Huntsville, Alabama, that decided we've got to change this. We've got to find a new way to have a coordinated response to responding to child sexual abuse. And thus was the birth of children's advocacy centers across the nation. I wish I was smart enough to come up with it on my own, but I wasn't. This is an international movement. We have our national agency is in Huntsville, Alabama, and they produce and provide training and technical support for children's advocacy centers all across the world. So at our facility, generally the first step is a forensic interview. So the idea is to reduce the number of times that the child has to tell a story. If you don't remember anything else about a child advocacy center, it is to reduce the number of times that the child has to tell the story. So we work together with law enforcement, the prosecutor's office, mental health, medical health, to provide a one-stop shop as best we can for these children that have to tell their story. If you've ever been to our facility, and we've moved a couple times, so if you're still thinking about 21st Street, we're not there anymore. We're on South Virginia Street. But our agency is colorful, and it's light, and it's fun. And the hope is that we are providing an atmosphere where a child feels comfortable to share their story. Right, so generally the first step is a forensic interview. Those interviews are completed by trained professionals that are able to interview children in a way that is child appropriate, that is age appropriate, and also able to be used in the process of the investigation that will ultimately be used in the court process, right? Also, I have victim advocates at our agency that provide support to our families. If you've never been through the court process, whether it's family court, whether it's criminal court, it can be an intimidating process. Our advocates are available to those families to support them. Also to be a resource and referral linkage to other agencies in our community. Like I said, there are so many agencies that United Way supports. My advocates are available to connect our clients to those other resources in the community. We have a full-on medical suite at our facility. That was the picture that you saw in the video. We have a trained medical professional that comes in and does comprehensive sexual exams for children. It's really important that we be able to gather DNA evidence when it's available. We use a piece of equipment called a colposcope that's able to see through the vaginal area, to the hymen, through the rectum without ever being inserted. And those things are important. But what's equally important is that when a child comes and they know that trauma has happened to their body, that we can assure them that their body is okay. And so that's part of the process for our medical exams. We also do a mental health assessment. Our mental health professionals are going to assess that family. What has been going on in the last couple of months? What's been going on in the last couple of weeks? How has this revelation of information affected their family? And so we're going to be able to assess that and support them as needed. Also, one of my favorite things to do is to do community awareness type stuff. There are some magnets and pins out there. And one of those magnets and pins says that penis and vagina are bad words, or aren't bad words. So it took me many years to stand up here to be able to say penis and vagina in front of a group of adults. And why is that, right? Why have we given those words such negative connotation? One of the trainings that we offer shares with community individuals that there was a kindergarten student that walked into her teacher's classroom, told her teacher that her daddy ate her cookie last night, and the teacher told her, well, that's nice, sweetheart, let's have a seat. Totally missed the opportunity to explore this child's disclosure, right? So I get to go out and I get to share that penis and vagina are not bad words and that we should be teaching our children the correct anatomy, the correct names for their anatomy. Another thing that I like to share is that 1 in 10 children will be sexually assaulted by their 18th birthday. If you know 10 children, it is likely that one of them have become a victim. And we know that only 40% of children ever tell anyone. And with us seeing just under 300 children each year, we know that there is much more work to be done in that area. Right? Another thing that I want you to know is that child sexual abuse does not discriminate. I had a board member that served in one of these clubs that would often say when an organization would come, she would be the one doodling in the back because she thought it would never happen to her until it did, and it was her grandchildren, right? And so I want you to know that it doesn't discriminate, that it transcends all generations. It transcends all races. It is bipartisan. It does not discriminate. And I just want you to know that our agency is here to support you. Should you or someone that you know or love become a victim or have a family member of a child that becomes a victim, our agency is here to support you. Oftentimes when I finish talking, people have sad looks and we have grim faces, but I want you to know that our agency offers hope. These are the hands of babies that have come through our center. The youngest that we've seen for an interview is a 3-year-old. The youngest that I've seen for a medical exam in my tenure was an 8-month-old baby. It is a tough topic to talk about, but it is very real in our community. I want to thank you all for your support of the Penny Royal Children's Advocacy Center and United Way. We could not do what we do without you. Thank you.